Matthew 22, and then we'll be going to John 13. I've already announced about the community sermon series. It's exciting to me that know that pastors all over our community are preaching on the same subject today, and they'll be so different. Every tradition will have its way of doing it. Every pastor will have their way of doing it. I'm just kind of introducing it. Sharina will have a masterpiece next Sunday, I'm sure. And Eddie will wrap it up in Eddie's fashion, and it'll be good. Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, speaking of Jesus, addressing their questions, they gathered together, and then one of them, a lawyer, and this is probably not a lawyer in the sense that we know an attorney today, but rather a doctor of the law or an attorney of the law that specialized in the Old Testament, asked him a question, testing him. He was hoping to catch Jesus and prove him not to be the Son of God, to try to trip him up. They were constantly trying to do that. And they were unsuccessful. And so here's his question, verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he asked him that question because it was a hot button issue in that day. There were different schools of thought. And these doctors of the law and teachers of the law and Pharisees and Sadducees, they would argue all day over which is the greatest commandment. And they would be divided. And so they figured they had Jesus with this question, because if he answers wrong, he's going to end up alienating a certain group of people, and some people will hate him. But how many know you don't trip up the Son of God? Amen? And so Jesus' response is really the kind of the theme of this community service that we're doing. Love where you live. How many noticed the banners out front and on the sides, right? If you didn't notice them, take a look. And all the churches involved in this series have those same banners posted at their locations. In verse 37, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And the second, they didn't ask him about the second, but he's going to tell them the second. And the second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he says this, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything that you debate, everything that you argue, everything that you try to trip people up with in the Old Testament, it all hangs on these two commandments, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, to the question of who our neighbor is and those things, I'll leave that to Sharina and then Eddie and how we're, you know, what that means and the obstacles to it. But Jesus sets the stage for all believers. How are we to live out our lives for Jesus Christ? We're to follow the first commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. And that's what we want to do. Amen? We want to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We want to do that. But then he said the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So not only are we to love God, because there's a lot of people, I think, who love God. That doesn't seem to be the issue. We wish more would love God, but, you know, that seems to be the pretty understandable one. But this neighbor-loving stuff, don't raise your hands. Well, yeah, raise your hands. How many's ever had a neighbor it was hard to love? Yeah. How do you do that? I mean, I'll love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but my neighbor. And then Jesus adds another wrinkle to it when he said, as yourself. As yourself. Love yourself. What? I'm to love myself? Yeah, you're to love yourself. How many be honest and say you love you? Four of you. If you knew me, you wouldn't love me either, Pastor. No, how many know God loves you? And if God loves you, that gives me an entryway for me to love you, right? And for you to love yourself. You love yourself. Now, I don't want to take that to extremes. I don't make out a card and write it, Dear Ed, I love you, and send it to myself. I've never done that. I don't think that would be appropriate. But at the same time, we're to love ourselves. But we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I think when it gets right down to it, we do love ourselves. That's not a pompous thing at all, but we do love ourselves because we're God's creation. But we need to love our neighbor in an equal fashion. No one would ever do something to his neighbor that we wouldn't want it done to ourselves. And so this kind of becomes the focus of this community preaching series. And I've already mentioned the praise and worship night that we'll have at the end of the month. But there's also an opportunity to serve our community on Saturday, October 19th. And if you're free on that Saturday morning from 9 to noon, the volunteers from different churches will be at Kiwanis Park. And from there, we'll go to different projects in the city that the city lays out. I spoke with the mayor a couple months ago and told him that our pastors, what they were doing, and he was quite impressed that we would do that. And so the city manager, Aaron, called me, and I spoke with Aaron, and she thanked me. She said, thank the churches for us, and we'll get some projects together, and spoke with the Parks Department, Todd, the other day, and we're going to lay out some projects. And so Kiwanis Park, 9 o'clock, October 19th for 3 hours, and we'll go different places and rake leaves and pick up trash and do some median planting or whatever. But I hope you can join us. It's a way that we can love our city, right? We can love our city. More information on that later. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we need to love God, we need to love our neighbor, and we need to love ourselves. Now, as I thought about this message this morning, throughout the last couple weeks, I knew that I was going to kick it off. So I kept thinking about how we can love where we live, because that's the theme, love where you live. And I kept thinking of an example in the scripture that I think at least speaks to me about how we can love people where we live. And it's the example of Jesus in John chapter 13. So if you would turn there in your Bibles, the balance of my time this morning is going to be focused on this little incident in the life of the disciples when Jesus met with them in the upper room for what we know as the Last Supper. And it is what our communion is modeled after. So it fits right in with communion. Chapter 13 of John, verse 1, it says this, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." I love that phrase. "And supper being ended," what we know as the Last Supper, and we celebrate communion, commemoration of that, "the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper," this is Jesus now, "and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part in me.'" Peter's response is classic. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Just give me a scrubbing." That's what it takes to be near you. You just wash me. And then we read on, but I want you to notice verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he whom is sent greater than him who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And so as I was thinking about this theme, loving where you live, I just could not help but go back to this illustration of Jesus washing the disciples' feet and what that meant. And of course, we know that culturally, the washing of people's feet was something that you did. If you had guests in your home, it was a courtesy that you extended to them. And if you were able, if you had servants, then that job would fall to them. It was a menial task. And generally, the master of the house would not do that. He'd have someone else do it. Now, we don't do a lot of foot washing these days, although I certainly am not against it. I think it's a wonderful expression of community and a wonderful expression of humbleness. And I don't plan to do that this morning, although I do want to use it as the basis of this idea of serving and loving where you live. And so Jesus is surrounded by these disciples. And remember, one of them is Judas Iscariot, who will betray him. And Jesus will end up washing the feet of his betrayer. He will do that because he loves Judas. He's broken that Judas would do this, but Jesus already knows that he's going to betray him. And so Jesus will take the posture of a servant, and he will love where he lived. And Jesus did that. The Bible says in John chapter 1, he came into this world. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And how many know that Jesus loved wherever he went? He lived in the Holy Land. He didn't just love in Nazareth, but he loved wherever he went. Before I was gone for this last 3 weeks, the last message I preached to you, you may not remember, but I do, it was the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And Jesus, rather than going from Galilee or from Judea to Galilee around like the Jews normally did, because the Jews hated the Samaritans, Jesus didn't, but the disciples did. He took a detour and went right straight through Samaria. And in the smack dab, almost the middle of Samaria, a city called Sychar, he met a woman at the well and broke all the social norms of the day. And he spoke to a woman who was a Samaritan, asked for a drink of water, and eventually led that entire city to the Lord. Because he loved them and he loved where he lived. And for that moment, he lived in Samaria. Wherever Jesus went is where he loved. And I think it is a great example for us. God wants us we live in battlegrounds, so we ought to serve in battleground, love in battleground. But if you happen to be in Vancouver and have a chance to love there, you ought to be able to love there too. Amen? Just say that, that's where I live for now. And maybe you live in Hawkinson or Woodland or North County, Amboy, Yakult, maybe Vancouver, Brush Prairie, who knows? You love where you live, but where you live could be a lot of different places. And so Jesus chooses to give this example of serving at the conclusion of what we know as the Last Supper. And the Bible says that the first thing he did was he took off his garments. He took off his garment. And as I take off this coat, so Jesus took off his garment and got ready to serve. He took off a couple of the wraps that he had and really became dressed like a servant. And I'm sure the disciples are going, what is going on here? Here is the master. He's the Son of God. And yet he's making himself to be a servant. Well, if they think that's rough, they wait for a few hours, because before long he's going to hang on a cross with maybe nothing on but the loincloth that he would have, because he chooses a holy surrender to die for us. Amen? So he took off his garments, the Bible says. And to me, that garment probably, for me, it represents my will. It's my choice. See, this coat, why did I wear this coat this morning? Well, I had to pack a suitcase for convention. I had to take my suit and a couple sport coats, and I didn't have room for this one, so I got to wear that on the airplane. I got to take it. I almost put on two sets of clothes so I'd have more room in my suitcase, but I didn't go that far. But it was my choice to wear. You know, normally I ask Cheryl, does this look okay? I didn't ask her this morning, because I knew what I wanted to do with the message. If she'd have said, no, wear something different, we'd have had to have marriage counseling. But it was my choice. It was my will. But when Jesus took off his garments, I think he was saying, I'm taking away my will. Isn't that what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not my will, but yours be done? And I think when he took off his garments to get a towel, he was saying, I'm taking off my will. I'm taking off what I want to do, and I am submitting to the love of God, to the will of God. And part of that was submitting his will to the Father. So he lay aside his garments. The next thing that it says that he does in that passage, it says, then he took a towel. He took a towel, and I just happen to have a towel here. He took a towel, and I don't know what kind of towel he had. I don't know the towels they had in those days. I didn't research it, so we just grabbed a towel from under the stairway. And he took a towel, and he girded himself with it. He girded. So I'm going to gird here. And I hope it doesn't fall off, because I'm not trying to do anything except illustrate a point. Is this the height of fashion today? Now, whatever you do, don't anyone post this to social media. I just... Don't do that. All right. He took a towel. He girded himself with a towel, and he's going to get ready to do what a servant would do. He's going to get ready to kneel down and wash dirty feet. Now, assuming the disciples came into that upper room and went through the normal process, they probably washed their feet when they came in. Maybe a servant did that. But still, he's dealing with feet that are dirty, they're grimy, they're calloused. And Jesus is going to stoop down in the lowest position of a servant, and he's going to pour water. The Bible says that he took a basin and a pitcher, and he pours it in, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And let's face it, our feet are not the most beautiful parts of our bodies, right? Unless you're here and you won a beautiful feet award or something, congratulations to you. But, you know, you look at your feet and, you know, you got your toenails and you've got, I don't even want to go there, but it's the part that was dirtiest for those disciples, because they wore sandals, and it was dusty ground, and they're calloused, and even though they may have washed them when they came into the Lord's Supper, they're still remaining dust and dirt on them, because they didn't scrub them, really. But Jesus is going to take that. And so he takes the towel, and as he washes the disciples' feet, he begins to dry them with the towel. By the time he's done, he has the dirt and the grime of 12 men on his towel, including the one who will betray him. I can't even imagine that poignant setting when Jesus comes to Judas. Judas, the Bible says Satan had already put into Judas's heart that he would betray him. And yet Jesus would wash his feet. What does the towel represent? To me, the towel represents the tool of a servant. It's what the servant would use. Jesus took the tool of a servant and began to love the disciples. The theme of this community service is love where you live. What does that look like? It means taking a towel. This whole month, I hope you will remember one thing. I hope you will remember the towel. I hope it'll come to your mind when you see a need. I hope it'll come to your mind when you reach out to love someone. I hope the towel will represent to you not your will, but God's will as the tool of a servant, and not literally take a towel wherever you go, all right? But know that when you have an opportunity this month, and I think God will give every one of us an opportunity to love where we live in some way, remember the towel that Jesus took the towel and loved those disciples, and so we ought to follow in that example. Amen? We ought to take up the towel. And what does that look like, the towel? This last trip that I took, I drove 1,358 miles, but who's counting, right? Taking care of the district, some of the churches, as Eddie explained in previous services. And so I was on my way back last Sunday night. I want to make it all the way home. And so I stopped for a quick bite of dinner to take with me, actually. And I think it was Boardman is where I stopped. And I pulled off 84. And I went into a little diner kind of hamburger place. And I gassed up the car, and then I went inside, and I was standing there, and I made my order. And I'm thinking about this message. I'm thinking about the theme, love where you live. And as I'm standing there waiting for my hamburger to be done, I noticed out of the corner of my eye a young couple. And they had one of the most beautiful little baby girls I've ever seen. Rich, black, dark hair, just a smiley little face, maybe a year and a half old or almost. And I couldn't help, the grandpa in me. So I'm standing there, and you got to be careful these days because, there's so much evil and bad going on that sometimes it's not fair, but sometimes when you're older, people sometimes suspect that you're a pervert or something like that. So I'm very careful. And so I'm standing there, and I looked over, and I noticed this little baby looked at me, because that's what little babies do, because I'm a grandpa. It's like little babies have this sixth sense. There's a grandpa. Matter of fact, I was in the mall one time, and a little baby walked by and reached out its arms toward me. Boy, yeah. So anyway, I'm looking at this little, beautiful little girl, and her mom and dad are talking, just a young couple, and I smiled. I winked and smiled at the baby. And she smiled. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. And so I waited for a moment. My order came, but before my order came, I heard the mom, and they were just having fun with this little baby, and dad was adoring her, and I heard the mom say, "Now go out and get the rest of the wipes and the diapers." So I knew what that was about. I'm a grandpa, right? So dad went out to the car, and when he came back, I saw that he did not bring in very much. And I sensed in my spirit that the Lord was preparing me to bless them. I had tucked a certain amount of money in my wallet that I tucked back for an emergency, and I was sensing that the Lord wanted me to give that to them, but I had to get the right moment. So I got my order, and as I stepped toward going, I just stopped, and I looked at them, and I said, "You have an adorable baby girl." And of course, they smiled and thanked me, and I said, "Can I bless her? Can I bless her?" And they kind of looked, and then they lifted her up, as if I was going to, take her in my arms and bless her. And I didn't plan to do that. But as they began to do that, I reached into my wallet and I pulled out the bill. And I gave it into the dad's hand. And I said, "I want you to use this to get your daughter something, to bless her with it. Or if you need it, you use it for whatever. But it's just my way of blessing your daughter. I believe that this is what I'm supposed to do." And as I step away, I say, and "God bless you both." And they were just kind of sitting there, like not stunned, but it's almost like something they didn't expect. And I walked out. I didn't want to linger long. I didn't feel like I needed to do that. And I got in my car, and as I got in my car, I looked up at the window. They were still sitting there, and they had both turned and smiled and lifted up the baby to me one more time. And I drove away, and I'll probably never see them again in my life. But for that moment, the Lord spoke this to me. He said, you live in Battleground, but for this 5 minutes, you lived in Boardman, Oregon. And you loved where you lived. And I'm convinced that all of us can love where we live, whether it's Battleground or at the mall or in California or wherever we happen to be. If there's a chance, we ought to take out the towel and love where we live. Amen? Love where we live. So what does the towel represent? The towel could represent a number of things, but it represents, I think, the tool of the servant. The towel might be a jack that you use to jack up someone's car who cannot change their own tire, but you choose to do that for them. The towel could be a plate of cookies that you make and take to a new neighbor that moves into the neighborhood and has no acquaintances or friends. The towel could be a meal for an ill neighbor that you know is sick, and you prepare a roast or turkey or something and you take it over to them because you know that it will help them. The towel might represent a lawnmower that you pull out of your garage and take down two or three houses to an elderly couple who can't mow their lawn anymore and the lawn is high, and you go in and offer to mow their lawn for them. The towel could represent a leaf rake where you go out, especially this time of the year, and rake the leaves away from the catch basin so it doesn't flood the neighbor's yard or the roadway. The towel could represent a prayer that you pray for someone when you're at Safeway or Albertsons or Walmart that you meet and they express a need and you just take a moment there in that aisle and you pray for them. The towel could be something as simple as someone who shares with you that they're going through a hard time and you ask permission, can I just give you a hug? Can I just give you a hug? And they give you permission and you hug them. And that little hug represents, or that towel represents that hug that could make all the difference in the world to someone who's going through a hard time. The towel could represent a note that you make and write to someone. I know email is the thing these days, but I think we need to come back occasionally to the little handwritten notes that says, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, and we put it in the mail and they get into the mail and they're astonished someone would take the time to do that. The towel could represent something that simple, and yet the impact could be enormous. Love where you live. That's the theme. And you know, every one of us can do that. It ought to start in our homes. How many know it ought to start in our homes? We ought to love where we live. In our homes. Loving our family. And then loving our neighbors. And then loving even those that are strangers that we may not know, and yet we have an opportunity to love them and to express that love in some way. Jesus girded himself with a towel. He began to serve the disciples. He poured the water into the bowl. He washed their feet. It was the most humble of expressions. But Jesus, in the words of the song we sang, had already committed to the holy surrender. And the holy surrender said, I'll do anything. And for that moment, it was to wash the disciples' feet. So what can you do? What can I do this month to love where we live? To love where we live. I won't say the restaurant, I won't say the people that work there. But the other day I slipped into one of our local restaurants to order a to-go for Cheryl. It was a long day. And I went in and ordered. And the two waitresses that were there knew me. And I knew them. And I stood back while I was waiting for my order, and boy, they were working double time, overtime. They were just going. But I want to tell you this, and that person's here this morning, and I want you to know this. The smiles that you ladies had on your faces that whole time I was there blessed my socks off, because I had had a rough day. I didn't even want to eat, but when I saw your smiles, I went home and I felt good because you were loving where you live. Something that small can make a big difference. Amen? Amen. We can all do that. We can all figure out a way. And I think the Lord's going to provide an opportunity for every one of us this month to love where we live. And I think it'd be exciting to hear some of the stories. Finally, what you don't want to do is throw in the towel. Amen? You don't want to throw in the towel. You say, I'm tired of loving people. I'm tired of being hurt. I got to tell you, your pastor, I'm a pretty good guy. Love myself, but I've got my weaknesses. And I was driving in Battleground a couple days ago, and I was in one of those things where if you stay in this lane, you got to turn. I wanted to go the other way, and there was room, and I got ready, and a big black new truck that someone said Bernie owns, but he was out of town, so I knew it wasn't him. He hit his engine, and he gunned it, and he came this close to my van. And my thought was, that's a new truck. My van's 19 years old. I got better insurance than you do, so let him hit me. But I was on the phone with my earphones talking to someone in the church that had been sick. And I'd called him, and I tried to get over, and he did that. And I forgot I was on the phone, and I said, what are you doing, you jerk? I know that surprises you that pastor would do that, but I'm being honest, okay? And I heard on my earphones, clunk. I thought, oh, no. So I called back real quick. And they said, hello. And I said, this is pastor. Yeah, what you need? I said, and I told them what happened, and they said, didn't hear a thing. Man, was I glad. But that guy just infuriated me. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? Love where you live. Even when it's hard. So the guy's in front of me, and he turns off. And as he turned off, I said, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. He did it, but I'm sorry for my attitude. And I pray for him. I don't know him from Adam. I'm not even going to look for that truck. But maybe he was having a hard day. Maybe he was frustrated because he had got cut off right down the road. I didn't allow enough grace in my response. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent at my reaction. But I pray for him, whatever it is that he might be going through. Loving where you live. We need to do it. Amen? And whether you're in Boardman for 5 minutes, love where you live. If you're in Vancouver for 5 minutes, love where you live. If you're in California, love where you live. California needs it. I'm from there. I know they need it. Loving where you live. Let's stand together, please, this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for communion. Thank you for loving us where we live. In our good times, our bad times, you love us. Thank you for serving us, Jesus. We could have been any of those disciples. You would have willingly washed our feet. Help us to be willing to take the towel and to, as it were, wash the feet of others, to serve people. To love where we live. Help us, Lord. Remind us this month as this sermon series goes on. It's going to be a great one. I'm anticipating what Shireen is going to share next week and what Eddie's going to share in the next 2 weeks after that. Lord, help us to say, I'm available. Let me take off my will and gird myself with a towel of your will. And help me, Lord, to love in whatever way I can, to love where I live. I commit myself to that, and I ask everyone here to do the same. Help me, Jesus, to follow your example and to be a servant, to be a servant, so that at the end of the day, people will see Jesus in us, and just maybe there will be people who will come to Christ because we have loved them where we live. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today, shall we? Amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday. And thank you for being in God's house this morning.